Welcome to the Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. Stephen is the president of Wisdom International. In the book of Romans, Paul discusses Israel's rejection of God and the consequences of that rejection. However, despite Israel's rejection of Christ, God has a plan for them and for us. Today, you'll discover enduring reasons for hope, even when circumstances seem bleak. Stay tuned for a powerful message about the trustworthiness of God.
Well, as we sail back into Romans chapter 11 for today, the Apostle Paul explains just a little bit more about what God is doing during what we call the dispensation of the church age. Israel has not been permanently abandoned, but God he's doing something new, something unexpected. In fact, no Old Testament prophet foresaw what God is doing here, namely the creation and the development of a church composed primarily of Gentile believers. Well, here in Romans chapter 11, beginning with verse 11, Paul explains what God intends to do during this current dispensation of the church age when Israel is temporarily set aside. God is unfolding at least two purposes in this present age. First, his plan is to proclaim salvation to the Gentile nations by means of the church, the ecclesia, the gathering of the redeemed. And second, this might surprise you, his plan is to provoke jealousy in the heart of Israel, the Jewish people, because of the church and what God is doing with Gentiles. Now, I'm just going to read verses 11 through 15, and they really explain themselves. So I ask, did they, that's unbelieving Israel, stumble in order that they might fall? By no means. Rather, through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles, so as to make Israel jealous. Now, if their trespass means riches for the world, and if their failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? Now, I am speaking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous, and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? Now, to just summarize what Paul has written here, Israel rejected their Messiah, but as a result, the gospel is now being received among the Gentiles. There's coming a day when Israel, moved by jealousy, will actually turn in repentance, accepting the Messiah as he returns to planet Earth after the tribulation to set up his kingdom. This word, by the way, for making others jealous isn't entirely negative like we think of it today. Here it's speaking of Jewish people longing for what they see taking place in the lives of Christians. Have you ever thought about the fact that the joy that you have, the relationship with God that you have, the forgiveness that you know you have through Christ, that can provoke a jealous longing in the hearts of those around you? This kind of jealousy, Paul writes, can be used by God to actually lead people to Jesus. They're going to tell you, I want what you have. How'd you get it from God? Now, I want to offer three timeless truths from this text for us today. Here's number one. Much of what God is accomplishing today among the Jewish people is taking place behind the scenes. Now, let me tell you, I've never had a Jewish person say to me, I am so jealous of you Christians. Well, they don't put it that way. They don't use that word jealous like that. But I have had them use words of longing. I have had Jewish people say to me, you know, I don't have the assurance you have with God. I don't have the peace of forgiveness of sins like you do. What do I need to do to have what you have? See, that's a form of jealousy, so to speak. Your joy, your forgiveness brings Jewish people to Christ today. But still, much of what's taking place is behind the scenes. Number two, everything God has promised Israel will one day come true. And let me tell you, beloved, it's no surprise to me why Satan and his kingdom of darkness continually attack the Jewish people. Israel is a part of God's future kingdom plan. So if Satan can eliminate the nation Israel, well, he can nullify the promises of God. And if God can't keep his promises, well, he's not really sovereign God after all. So even today, beloved, have you noticed how there's always this anti-Semitism? It always seems to be bubbling up. Why, I can go back as far as 1991. One magazine reported that video games allowed players to relive the concentration camps of Hitler during World War II, and those video games were becoming popular again. One Jewish organization has counted more than 140 online games that involve bloodshed against Jewish people. If you can imagine it, one game allows players to manage a concentration camp and then gain points by selling gold fillings from teeth extracted from Jews, by selling lampshades made from the skin of dead Jewish people. The proceeds from these sales provide the funds to buy poison gas and build additional gas chambers. Can you imagine that? That's demonic, isn't it? Beloved, one of the greatest proofs of God's sovereign promises to Israel is the persistent attempt by Satan to destroy the Jewish people. I mean, why bother with Jewish people? If covenant theologians, by the way, are correct, and God has replaced Israel with the church, and all the promises to Israel have been adopted spiritually by the church, well, why would Satan bother persecuting the Jewish people? Why is there such worldwide hatred for this nation? I'll tell you why. Satan cares because he takes the Bible literally. The devil happens to be quite a Bible student. All you have to do is look back at Matthew chapter 4, where Satan tempted Jesus by quoting scripture to the Lord. Of course, he twisted the meaning of it to suit himself. Beloved, I believe the devil is a student of the Bible. He can quote the Bible. He believes the Bible is an inspired document, and it's to be interpreted literally. He evidently understands God's promise of a literal land to the Jews again, a literal inheritance, a literal throne in Jerusalem, a literal kingdom. And that's why he's fighting against this, and he has fought against it for centuries. He wants to keep Israel out of the land. He wants to eliminate that nation completely from the face of the earth. And I believe Satan takes literally Christ's promise to bring that kingdom to earth and to literally rule, as the prophets declared, from David's throne in a literal Jerusalem. The book of Revelation reveals the devil's attempts all the way through the tribulation period to keep this from happening. You know, one of the greatest proofs that God is not finished with Israel is this ongoing, unnatural hatred for the Jewish people and the demonically inspired attempts throughout modern history to wipe them off the face of the earth. But let me tell you, God's going to keep his word to Israel in the future, just like he's kept his word to Israel in the past. The Philistines, you remember them back in the ancient days? They tried to wipe out Israel. Well, my friend, have you ever thought about the fact that you've never met a Philistine? Well, no, you haven't. That nation no longer exists, but more than likely you've met an Israelite. Why? Because that nation still exists today. Well, now let me give you one more timeless truth. Here's number three. Everything God has promised the believer is just as reliable as his promises to Israel. And let me tell you, beloved, this is true. No matter what anybody says, no matter what your circumstances seem to indicate, God is faithful to keep his promises to Israel, and that's great evidence that he's going to keep his promises to you and me as New Testament Christians today. God's unchanging covenant with Israel, in spite of their unfaithfulness, in spite of their disobedience, well, that's part of your assurance today. Your own personal failures, well, they're not permanently fatal either. As a Christian, your falling and failing is never final. Even moments of disobedience do not destroy God's covenant with you as a child of God by faith in Christ alone. His covenant of grace with you says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13, verse 5. You can count on that. You can lean on that. You can depend on that today. You can rest in it. That's His unchanging promise to you. You see, you happen to have blessings from God today that the unbelieving world and certainly the unbelieving Jewish world longs to have, that forgiveness, that peace, that assurance that comes through the grace and the saving work of Christ alone. When I read this text, I can't help but think of Dr. Charles Feinberg, a faithful believer, a brilliant Jewish Bible scholar. I have his books in my library. Feinberg was raised in an Orthodox Jewish home, and they hired what they called a Sabbath Gentile. And that was a Gentile woman who was hired to come in and cook and clean and serve the family on the Sabbath day so that they didn't work. Well, the joyful demeanor and disposition, the quiet testimony of this woman, who was, by the way, a dedicated Christian, it was so appealing. In fact, it was unnerving that finally this sophisticated, educated young man went to her privately and began asking her questions about her faith. Well, through the testimony of this cleaning lady, Charles Feinberg placed his faith in Jesus Christ as his Messiah. Well, let me tell you, beloved, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, live out your gratitude to God for His unfailing promises to you through your Messiah, the assurance that you have in Jesus Christ. You never know when someone might be watching you, and you never know when somebody will be moved to jealousy, that is longing, to ask you about what you have, and you can tell them how they can have it as well. Well, until we set sail again, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Today you learned that God's plans are bigger than you can see. Israel will be restored. And His promises to you are just as steadfast. If you have additional questions about this section of Scripture and want to study more, we have a resource to help. Stephen preached a series of full-length sermons through the book of Romans. You'll find them at wisdomonline.org/Romans. Visit there today, then join us next time on the Wisdom Journey.